2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. If you hold that ready, we're going to be looking at that in just a minute. Sometimes we can get so busy and wrapped up in our daily routine that we lose sight of what is truly important and what should have priority in our daily lives. Everybody knows what the word priority is, right? How many know that? Priority. Yeah, that takes first place. Okay. That which is of eternal value gets hijacked by the tyranny of the immediate. You have so many things that are pressing to do right now. Repair the broken pipe, get groceries, do the wash, go to the bank. You get the idea. That the things that are more important but don't seem to have such a pressing deadline get put off and put off. And put off. Okay. Regularly, I have to step back from the hectic daily schedule, take time out to get a perspective on what's really important, and figure out how to make sure the really important things get done amongst the urgent but less important things. The Bible clearly teaches us what our priorities should be. May I draw your attention then to one of these important priorities that God points out in his word. Would you turn in your Bible, if you're not already there, to our text, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and follow along as I read aloud for us the command given there. 2 Peter 3, 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. As we just read in this last verse of 2 Peter, we have been given a command to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. How do we do that? Well, before you can grow as a child of God, you must be born into his family. I was reminded of those births in our family. We were blessed with 4 children, 2 girls and then 2 boys. And that worked great for bunk beds, you know. And we had a wonderful time as they were growing up. But they had to be born first before they could grow. The new birth is where eternal life begins. In fact, that is the top priority for every man, woman, and child on earth, to be born again, born into God's family. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in verses 6 and 7, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." In other words, there's a physical birth, there is a spiritual birth. Verse 7, "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." If you have never been born again and you're listening to this message, please don't leave without talking with me or talking with someone that you know is born again and can show you from the Bible how to be saved. The new birth is where Christian growth begins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." What does it mean to grow once you are born again? We understand physical growth. If you have children, you can see them grow. I was amazed to see our grandkids. Some of them were like, "Whoa, where did time go?" We've got some giants in our family. Must be going back to my Viking ancestors, but Stephen has 2 boys and they are big right now. But that's physical growth. We can observe physical growth, but how do you do that spiritually? Well, 2 Peter 3:18 again, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what spiritual growth is. Grow in grace. What does that mean? Grace here translates the Greek word charis. Grace can mean different but related things depending on the context, as I'm sure I've mentioned in previous messages here in this church. It can refer to God's merciful loving kindness toward the undeserving. And this is especially the meaning in view in regard to God's offering the gift of salvation of eternal life to repentant sinners. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace, charis, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." That whole salvation by grace through faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Isn't it wonderful that salvation is free? It is a free gift. But it does require the humility to admit that you are lost, that you are deserving of hell, and that the Lord Jesus has paid for your sin if you will accept his gift of eternal life. Grace can also refer to graciousness or attractiveness of attitude, speech, or manner, as we find in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "Let your speech always be with grace," graciousness, same word, charis, "as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Grace can also refer, in fact, it most often refers to supernatural enablement from God to do his will. That's where it is used most often in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, I mean, is an example here. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us," supernatural enablement from God to do his will, "each of us is to exercise these gifts accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith; if service, in his serving; or he who teaches, in his teaching; he who exhorts, in his exhortation; he who gives with liberality; he who leads with diligence; he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Some of the spiritual gifts mentioned here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace, divine enablement to do his will, gives grace to the humble. Fourthly, it can refer to the spiritual condition of one who is governed by God's grace. In other words, the token or proof of grace. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life," charis, grace of life, "so that your prayers will not be hindered." Fifthly, it can refer to thanks for favors, benefits, and et cetera. For example, saying grace for a meal. Anybody ever heard that expression, say grace for a meal? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 gives an example of this use of the word charis. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude," charis, "by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." So getting back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, where we are commanded to grow in grace, in the context of this verse, grace here refers to all five meanings or connotations that we just described. In other words, God commands us to grow in our dependence on God's supernatural enablement to do his will, to grow in our gratitude to God for his many gifts, to grow in the outward proofs of God's enablement, and to grow in our graciousness and attractiveness of attitude, speech, and manner, as we're told in Titus 2:10, to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Having said all that, in addition to growing in grace, our text verse also adds that we are also to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This includes knowing more and more about our Lord and Savior. It includes knowing his character and person, knowing his will and ways as revealed in the Bible. This is why I encourage you so strongly to make sure you are reading God's word every day. I want to ask you to raise your hands to tell me if you are or not, but you know in your heart whether you're reading God's word regularly. Oh, listen, there's no excuse for that. There are free apps that you can put on your smartphone, and you can read anything in the Bible free, and it's there with you. In fact, it's interesting, because of all that I've been going through, my phone is sort of hung around my neck on the lanyard. So it's there. I can read God's word anytime, day or night. What a blessing to be able to have God's word. And we can learn more about our Lord and Savior, what he's like, and knowing his will, his ways. Furthermore, it includes getting to know our Lord and Savior personally better and better. You know, I can get to know about someone if someone tells me about them. But until I have face-to-face fellowship with a person, I can't know them. And I am so thankful for my wife that I've gotten to know her. By the way, I got to know her for how many years, honey? Was it 5 years? 5 years before I married her. Okay, well, I did meet her when I was 16, so what can I say? I had to wait until I was 21 to marry her. But anyway, I got to know her, what she's like. I got to know her person. And this is what it's talking about here. Not only get to know what God is like, but then getting to know him personally. Many times I will ask someone, before I have a chance to witness to them, I'll ask them, do you know the Lord personally as your Savior? And if they give me that kind of weird look like, not sure what you're talking about, well, then I know I can go on and give them the gospel. But if they know what I'm talking about, then I can fellowship with them as a fellow Christian. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, here's Paul's testimony. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. That's the knowing him that we're talking about here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Oh, listen, I hope that you know the Lord personally as your Savior, that you fellowship with him on a daily basis as you read his word and as you pray. So now that we understand what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, how do you grow once you're born again? By the way, just as you can't make yourself grow physically, neither can you make yourself grow spiritually. I remember as a 9-year-old, maybe around that age, and I wanted to grow more physically. I couldn't make myself grow physically. I ate all the right things. I exercised. I did everything I could, but it didn't hurry anything up. And then all of a sudden, it started to grow, and I started to shoot up. Wow, what a blessing. I was 6'2" at one point. Who knows what I am now? I've probably shrunk. But anyway, you can't make yourself grow physically. But you also can't make yourself grow spiritually. The Holy Spirit does that work, but you can and must make sure that you're providing the necessary conditions and eliminating any hindrances to the Holy Spirit's working in you. The thing about spiritual growth is that you can actually stop it. You can just stay stunted for years if you are not working with the Holy Spirit in growing. So understand that there's something you need to cooperate with the Lord about. In order to accomplish this, let me offer 8 things to put into practice in your life. So here's a list for you. 8 things that you need to put into practice in your life in order to grow spiritually. First of all, Get God's word, the Bible, into your heart and life. Just as a child grows physically by taking in nutritious food, so you need to take in the word of God. If you have your Bible open, would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2? Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Long for the pure milk of the word of God, the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. So then those who have received, who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Basically, all the things that we do together as a church, as well as individually. Secondly, nurture a supreme desire to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you don't have a goal, you can't reach it. I remember in high school that there were some things that we were learning, and there were some physical activities. I took karate, I took tumbling, I took a lot of other fun stuff. I'm so glad I didn't know that I had a problem with my back until later, which I found out later. But in order to get to know this subject, I had to have a desire for it, and I had to know where I was going. So nurture a supreme desire to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that a priority. Make that a goal. Consciously think, I want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as a child develops a taste and desire for certain things by his parents setting that kind of food before him regularly, in the same way, set that desire to know the Lord before your heart. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 again, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, the Apostle Paul wrote, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You can see in this verse how the Apostle Paul is saying, that I may know him. You can see that longing, that desire that drove him. Thirdly, make your primary goal this, to be Christ-like. In fact, this is God's stated purpose for you, as we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Conformed to the image of his son, to be Christ-like, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Fourthly, spend daily time in prayer, fellowshipping with God and accessing his grace. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. If taking the word of God, if taking in the word of God by daily personal reading and by hearing it preached can be likened to the necessary food and drink a child needs to grow, then prayer can be likened to the air we need to breathe every moment of every day. You know, I was just astonished and overjoyed as a preteen when I realized that I could pray anywhere. I didn't have to be in a certain place. I didn't have to be in a certain position. I didn't even have to have my eyes closed. I could talk to the Lord anywhere, anytime. I was so glad I could do that, because there were times in the night when I could talk to the Lord in prayers. Oh, listen, Rejoice in that wonderful privilege. Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that is going before the Lord in prayer, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Fifthly, learn to rest in the Lord, to utterly and completely trust in and cast your dependence on the Lord alone. Just as a child needs regular rest and needs security in order to be healthy and to grow, just so every child of God needs to rest in his heavenly Father and know that he is secure in his loving arms. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says this, the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. What a picture that gives you. The fact is that you are in his arms. That's pretty safe. I remember with all four of our children, it was a blessing. I remember Eileen. Boy, she was such a skinny little thing. We were on deputation to raise support to go to Nova Scotia as missionaries. And I'm sure that half the support we raised were because they looked at that little girl and thought, these guys are starving this kid. We've got to give them some support. But anyway, it's wonderful to know that we're in the loving arms of our Savior. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Trust him. Depend on him. Just know that you're secure in him. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Interesting, as we sang that hymn, Jesus, I am resting, resting. This is what it's talking about. Depending on the Lord, trusting him. Verse 16, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sixthly, put into daily practice what you learn from God's word. Just as a child needs daily exercise in order to develop his muscles and bones, you, as a child of God, need to exercise what you have learned from God's word. Oh, I pray that you aren't going to leave the service today saying, well, that was a good message and that was good intellectual, you know, food there, and then totally forget what you learned or were reminded of. Oh, listen. God always intends for us to put into practice whatever we read from God's word or hear from God's word. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Put into practice what you get from God's word. Seventhly, avoid the contaminating and harmful influences of the world. Just as parents protect their children from disease and danger, so you must protect yourself from the spiritual dangers of worldly things. Make careful choices in music, entertainment, activities, friends, and other areas of your life. They will affect you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Eighthly and finally, fellowship with God's people regularly and often. I'm so glad to see your faces here this morning. You're practicing this eighth step. The COVID pandemic basically changed the world permanently. The upside is that many who could not attend church physically and formerly had to settle for listening to Bible messages online now can attend the entire church service virtually through Zoom or by streaming video. I look over here on the laptop and I see so many names of people who are connected to us by Zoom, as many as are here in the pews. What a blessing that that technology is available. So if you can attend physically, do so. If you cannot attend physically, then praise the Lord for Zoom and live streaming technology and attend virtually. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Since I gave you 8 things to put into practice in your life in order to grow in grace, let me list them for you again so that you will fix them firmly in your mind. Number 1, get God's word into your heart and life. Number 2, nurture a supreme desire to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, make your primary goal to be Christ-like. Number 4, spend daily time in prayer, fellowshipping with God and accessing his grace. Number 5, learn to rest in the Lord. In other words, to utterly and completely trust in and cast your dependence on him alone. Number 6, put into daily practice what you learn from God's word. Number 7, avoid the contaminating and harmful influences of the world. And number 8, fellowship with God's people regularly and often, not just in church, but in other opportunities as well. Now, we've answered several major questions about growing in grace. Let's answer one more. What are the rewards of consistently growing in grace? I remember as a child and later on as a teenager, I always wanted to know why. You ever have a child that keeps asking why? But why? I must have been one of those kids to my parents. But here's a why, okay? The first reward is security and stability. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. In fact, why don't you turn there with me so you can follow along in your eyes as I read it aloud for us. Second Peter 1, verses 2 through 10. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love, that agape love, that selfless, giving, sacrificial love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. So the first reward of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is security and stability. The second reward is reaching spiritual maturity, otherwise known as Christ-likeness, and being given opportunities for service. Do you remember during your childhood hearing your parents and other adults say things like, "When you grow up, you can dot, dot, dot." How many of you remember that? When you grow up, okay. Many of you maybe heard, "Grow up." Okay. When you grow up, then you can do this. Well, God's goal for you as a Christian is to grow up spiritually, reach spiritual maturity, Christ-likeness, so that he can give you more opportunities for service for him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." The first reward is security and stability. The second reward is spiritual maturity, Christ-likeness, and opportunities for service. The third reward is that God is glorified. That, after all, should be your highest goal and greatest joy. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 again, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Don't forget that our text states a command which we are to obey: grow in grace. Are you growing in grace? Ask yourself that question. Am I growing in grace? Are you hungry for the word of God? Are you feeding on it daily? Are you fleeing for refuge and rest to your Lord in prayer? Are you putting into practice what you're learning from the word of God? And are you avoiding the harmful influences of the world? Are you seeing progress in your graciousness of attitude, speech, and manner that reflects your dependence on God? If you see in your life some definite needs in this area, would you confess that need to God right now and ask him for his grace, his enablement, to begin immediately to grow in grace? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, think about what we've covered today? Are you growing in grace? Is there a definite need in some area of your life where you need God to forgive you, to strengthen you, to enable you to begin to grow in grace? Perhaps you're here today and you know that you cannot grow up because you actually haven't yet been born again into God's family. Do you understand your urgent need to repent of your sin and trust Christ alone to save you from sin and hell? If you'd like me to help you come to Christ by showing you from the Bible how to be saved from sin and hell, then please let me know. If you're here physically, then talk with me after the service. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying for another several hours. Just talk to me. I'm approachable. If you're here physically, if you are on Zoom or are listening to the service on our website later, then please contact me by texting or emailing me so that we can set up a time to meet in person or video chat or even talk on the phone, whatever works best for you. I'll be glad to help you make sure of salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the commands in your word, because we know that every command that you give is backed up by your enablement, your grace. Lord, I pray that as we've looked at the different ways that grace, charis, is used in Scripture, I thank you, Lord, that you can enable us to put into practice every one of these definitions of grace. Lord, I pray that if anyone here does not yet know you personally as Savior, they've not yet been born again, born into your family by faith in Christ, that today they will realize that that offer of salvation, free, paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ, is awaiting them, awaiting their humbling themselves and asking you to save them. Lord, I pray for any who are saved but realize from our study of your word this morning that they are not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, but they realize that they need to. Lord, encourage them, strengthen them, help them to make that decision to begin to grow. Lord, I pray that they would put into practice what they learned today. Father, for the rest of us who have been growing, but perhaps are just resting and not really growing, Lord, we realize that we can actually stop growing spiritually when we're not cooperating with your Holy Spirit and the work he's doing in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you would stir up our hearts to make it a priority once again to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We trust you for your enablement. In Christ's name we pray.